Juice. Juice, mother. Juice.
Geek Juice Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the juggernaut, bitch.
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Geek Juice Radio as we continue with part three of our Final Fantasy Advent criticism. Woot!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tonight we got me, I'm Alex Jowski. We've got Kevin with us.
I'm here and drinking scotch.
And you're gonna need it. We've got Iason.
Busting out at you like Tifa's stretched shirt.
And from TomBadGuy.com, we've got Tom Bad Guy.
Yo! I'd like to make a shout out real quick to the Traveling Circus. Visit their website at thetravelingcircus.net. Follow them on Twitter and on Facebook. They have a great clothing line, including stuff for the fighting game community, which is awesome.
And I want to give a quick shout out for adamandeve.com, because if you go there and use the promo code JUICE, J-U-I-C-E, you get porn. You get three free DVDs, 50% off a single item, free shipping within the United States, and a free mystery gift.
And now my pants are stuck to my legs.
And that's just by going through adamandeve.com and using the promo code JUICE.
Juice. Juice, mother. Juice.
To move on here, where we left off, we were just leaving the Super Nintendo era and moving on to Final Fantasy VII.
Smooth transition.
Aw, yeah.
And Final Fantasy VII, the first one for the PlayStation, quite a notable game.
That game sucks. I'm just kidding.
It's okay. I mean, I liked it a lot at the time. It has not aged well.
It's remembered fondly, yes.
Yeah, and it deserves to be remembered fondly because it really... I think it really helped put the PlayStation at, like, the top of...
It's the reason why I bought one, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it really helped cement the PlayStation as the winner of the next two generations by establishing that fan base. Again, it has not aged well, but... Yeah.
But it was a transitional game because it was coming out of the Final Fantasy VI era graphics, and you can tell that in the graphics of this game that they were going in between like the super deformed characters to the normal characters in the turn-based fighting parts.
We thought it looked amazing at the time too. I was blown away by like the combat graphics and the summons and stuff were incredible for this era.
Yeah, I remember watching the commercial when I was a kid, and the first thing I was blown away about was the graphics, and then I got confused because it said Final Fantasy VII, and I was like, so they skipped, like, four games? Because the last one I remember hearing...
Three, right. Yeah.
It's like, what the hell?
There's actually six, but we didn't know that at the time so well.
Yeah. No, with VII, though, that was probably the first Final Fantasy I ever seriously got into, because I played Final Fantasy II and one before that. But 7 was the first one I actually just went balls out and wanted to play and keep playing. At the time I played it, I was like, there will never be a greater game than this. Like, at that time, I even thought it was better than Chrono Trigger, which is actually my favorite game. But then, like, as you stated, Kevin, it does not age well. Oh, God, it does not age well.
Well, that's the PlayStation version. There is a PC version that there has been a huge growing mod community actually helping develop a modern-looking version of that game using the original PC game itself.
Well, it's the thing, like, because I think I played on PC as well. Like, I remember that first came on PC, but, like, the sound and the music sucked ass because it was all MIDI.
My issue with the game is not so much the graphics. The graphics are, you know, it's a PlayStation game, so I don't really judge that. My issue with the game is the gameplay, and it was the first time, because the previous game, all the characters kind of had their own, like, little individual quirks and their skill sets and the kind of items they can use and whatever. This is the first time a Final Fantasy game really made all the characters pretty generic from a gameplay perspective because of the materia system. I mean, yeah, sure, they have different weapons they can use, and some of them... You can do some pretty interesting stuff with Yuffie, for example, and like counter strikes because of how her weapon works, her ultimate weapon works. I mean, there's some slight differences, but it's like it's so minor that you could use anybody and they're all fine. It sort of dilutes the game. And I had that issue with pretty much every Final Fantasy from 7 on, actually. Though 9 actually tries, at least, to be individualized. Even though I didn't like 9 very much, at least it tries to, from a gameplay perspective, go old school.
The characters didn't have that much individuality and difference to begin with, because it was all that materia system that you could just literally make clones of each other, and that's kind
which was interesting, but it ended up being so, like, on subsequent playthroughs. Your first playthrough, you don't really care because you're so kind of engrossed in the in like the world and the story, and you're kind of, but when you're playing through like a second or third or fourth or fifth time, like I've beaten the game, it's like, okay, these characters are kind of like, I don't care, so why am I playing this anymore? And then you kind of realize, I didn't like this game quite as much as I thought I did.
Yeah, like, what?
I think they wanted to give everybody a chance to pick their own favorite character and just go with them however they wanted to go.
Yeah, like personality or something, but rather than skill set.
The only difference they had, though, was since with the materia system and pretty much any character could be whatever you wanted, the only thing that was really different is instead of somebody saying one line of dialogue, somebody else said it. Because with main points in the story, they usually had you require certain party members to be in your party, and then the additional person was just whatever, but they're pretty much saying the same thing. So, like, it's not like it's six, where everybody kind of had their own thing going on.
Especially if you got Vincent and Yuffie, because they were optional characters, so they're pretty generic at most points in the game.
Yeah.
Which, Yuffie ironically, was optional?
You don't have to get her.
Oh. And that's crazy, because Vincent ended up getting his own game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, Vincent is actually fairly difficult to get unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah, you have to beat that stupid boss in the safe. I hate that boss.
And you have to know about the safe, and and then Yuffie you have to catch randomly in that one little forest.
Yeah, and then of course they're not in any of the cutscenes in the game, so totally optional.
Yeah, they don't really feel like they're part of the game. Ironically, my two favorite characters in the game are completely unimportant to the plot or anything else.
So Yuffie's one of your favorite characters?
Yes, we've discussed this before, that I like the, like, spunky young female ninja trope. I don't know why, I just do.
I didn't like the fact that her weapon was
or
a
rogue
pinwheel.
Or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, the thief kind of character I've always kind of liked.
Even with her pinwheel weapon?
I always thought it was just a big ninja star.
Yeah, well, it depends on which... There is, like, a pinwheel, I think, at some point.
Yeah, that's like her joke weapon. I always liked, my favorite characters were Red and Cid. Those are my favorite ones.
Cid's cool. I like Cid. I never really got into Red 13. I don't know why. Just something about him never really clicked with me.
Oh, I just like the idea that it was just playing a character that wasn't, like, I guess, like a human being, which I thought was pretty cool. I don't know, talking animal. It was pretty interesting.
I don't know.
He's got some cool backstory, and, like, I mean, he's got a good place in the story, at least, unlike some of the characters.
So
including Kate Sith, who is completely pointless and is a main character.
Kate Sith is terrible.
I like Reeve better than Kate Sith. Like, I wish you could just play as Reeve instead. He's the one controlling it anyway.
But sorry for people who actually like Kate Sith.
wasn't Kate Sith...
All three of you.
wasn't Kate Sith an enemy in, like, 5 or 6 or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's based on I actually think it's pronounced something different.
Like,
I think
it's an Irish or something like that?
I think it's like Ketchy, and I think it's an Irish, like, fairy.
Not a cat on a big piece of white poop.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's Ketchy. Yeah.
Ketchy.
And it's a fairy creature from Celtic mythology, said to resemble a large black cat with a white spot on its breast.
So
legend
that does
has
not...
A spectral cat haunts the Scottish Highlands. So it's from Scottish folklore.
Well, that's cool and all, but that doesn't explain the megaphone weapon.
No, it doesn't.
Nor does it explain the humongous peep of white poop with arms that it rides.
It's technically a Moogle.
Is it? They had to shoehorn a Moogle in there.
Yes.
Oh, that's what that's supposed to be. I just thought it was just some, like...
Giant, fat Moogle.
Hey, Mog is in that game. You could play his minigame in the,
That's true.
You can play it at the Gold Saucer. There's that Mog minigame.
Yeah, Ketchy. Not Ket... It's actually Ketchy. Interesting.
Well, we've learned something new.
That's pretty rad, actually.
Well, here's a funny thing about 7 that I learned.
It makes him a little cooler knowing that, right?
It does.
Well, it explains why in the Advent Children movie he has that accent. That kind of explains it.
Oh, yeah. I've only seen Advent Children, like, twice, so I don't even remember.
That's okay.
But I figured it was okay that I'd spared myself the immense pain of watching Advent Children over and over again.
But, like, after 7, they started, what was it? Was it back in 2004? They started the compilation of Final Fantasy 7, where they started making all the games and other media for it, because they started with the movie. Then they had the cell phone game, which was before Crisis, which was about the Turks. They had the PSP game, which is Crisis Core. And then they had Dirge of Cerberus. I don't think I'm missing any of them.
Yeah, Dirge of Cerberus is the Vincent game where he just broods the entire time and looks at a giant moon.
The moon.
And shoots his three-barreled gun.
Jowski's seeing the unskippable for that, right?
Yeah, it's the unskippable and all the jokes about the moon.
I'm watching you, moon. Every time I see a big moon now, I always do that. I'm watching you, moon.
So with Vincent, instead of three wolf moon, is it three-barrel moon?
Yes.
Maybe. Three emo moon.
He's like a hipster vampire.
Yes, he is.
That game went first and third person, right?
I remember it mostly.
It's a shooter. I think it's a third person game.
Maybe I'll think about like the sniper rifle or something.
Maybe. I don't ever really played it, so.
Well, I never played the cell phone game before Crisis. I never played that, but I did play Crisis Core on the PSP. Now, gameplay-wise, I would still say Final Fantasy VII's better, but you take the main character, Cloud, which the first time I played it, I thought he was all right, and then I kind of feel like the character kind of got ruined, because in Advent Children, like, I mean, we all knew that Cloud was just kind of like, I would guess I would just say emo, but not as drastically emo as I thought he was until, like, Advent Children came out and I watched the bonus features and Nobuo Uematsu was, like, talking about, like, I saw a part in the script where it said Cloud smiles and I was just shocked. I was like, well, he says some pretty non-depressing stuff in the actual game. So, like, I guess, like, that's when I found out that Cloud just had this humongous cloud of just depression on him, where I just took it as, in the game, first he's just a blank shell. And then he just finds out about his past and his memories, so he's just tortured by him. But I never sat there and thought, like, he was down and depressed. And then I played Crisis Core, and you play Zack Farrow as the main character, and I realized that, like, wow, I really don't like Cloud, and I really, really, really like Zack.
Well, that's because he, like, basically pretends to be Zack for, like, the first half of the game in Final Fantasy VII. So he has kind of Zack's personality, which is fun. Actually, that's the better half of the game, and then when he finds out who he actually is, he just kind of breaks him, and he never really recovers.
Yeah.
Now, I'm kind of curious if y'all know anything about a rumor I heard when Final Fantasy VII first came out, is that, remember at the end where there are the creatures called the, I believe they were the weapons?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they were, there was one underwater, there was one constantly going over the map that you had to take your airship to get.
Yeah, Ultima Weapon was the one you fight in the airship, the one underwater was Emerald, and then the one in the desert near the Golden Saucer was Ruby Weapon.
And then there was Diamond Weapon, which you fight when it's on its way to Midgar.
You blow him up with, like, the cannon, the Mazel Cannon.
Ray, yeah, the Sister Ray Cannon blows his face off.
Now, I always heard that those weren't in the Japanese version, and in fact that there was less variety of weapons in the original Japanese release, and apparently America got the cool end of the stick there somehow, which never happens. Usually Japan gets the cooler stuff. But that's a rumor.
Ruby and Emerald might have been added.
I don't know. I never heard about that.
Because Diamond and Ultima are plot points in the game. So yeah. I think that they were there. Emerald and Ruby might have been added later. Let me see.
Oh, I remember fighting Emerald Weapon. The first time I played that game, I found Emerald Weapon down the ocean. Of course, I died a bunch of times. But I'll tell you this. I didn't know anything about the underwater material, which takes away the time clock, and I had no idea what Knights of the Round was. I beat Emerald Weapon in under 20 minutes without Knights of the Round.
What level were you when you did that?
It took forever, but, like, this is, like, the first time playing it. I just had the system where somebody had the W item materia, and I just used, like, my strongest magic and, like, attacks and stuff with, like, the ultimate weapons. And whenever I healed, I would always use the dupe trick to get 99 Mega Elixirs, and whoever had W item would just keep casting Mega Elixirs all the damn time. And I remember with Cloud, with the ultimate weapon, I had him with, like, cut all or whatever, slash all or whatever, so I'd destroy those nodes, like, really quick, and then I'd just, like, fight. I mean, there was one, the time before I beat him, the counter ran out, for the time, which pissed you off, but I actually beat him with it. But an even more impressive story was our mutual friend Frank Davis. He beat Emerald Weapon on disc two.
On disc two?
On disc two, he beat Emerald Weapon. I sat there and watched him. He leveled up, got everything he could, and beat it on disc two.
That's so. Real quick, we haven't, before we finish up with Final Fantasy VII, Eris.
Oh, hold on. Okay, so I wanted to confirm, yes, Ruby and Emerald were added to the North American, European, and then later when they did the international version, they re-released in Japan, it was added back in there. Emerald and Ruby were not in the original Japanese release. The one that gets shot by the Sister Ray is actually the Junin Cannon.
Oh, yeah.
Is actually Sapphire Weapon. Diamond Weapon is the one that looks like Emerald, but is like gray, and you actually fight him in an actual fight.
I was going to talk about, yes, that she's like the fan favorite, and it always makes me mad because when I played the game, she was A-E-R-I-S, and that everything after, they just decided to change it to T-H, and people insist that it's T-H.
That was the Japanese spelling of the name, so...
That's what pissed you off. You know what pissed me off is when I first played that game, and when she died, I wasn't sad. I was pissed off because I spent all that fucking time building up her levels and building up her crap because she was in my party that entire time as my healer, and then she just died. That's what pissed me off. It didn't make me sad. It angered me.
That's, I think, how it worked, though, because you don't expect that you're going to lose them in the storyline, and I thought that was a pretty good moment.
I'm not saying it's bad. Well, okay, I'll tell you one reason why it's bad here in a second. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that when everybody else is sad and when they remember it, they just think of a sad memory. It pisses me off when I remember it because I remember playing it the first time. Now, the reason it's bad is you get all these people who are uneducated about Final Fantasy and they think that Aeris is the first character to ever die in a Final Fantasy game.
Oh, yes. They've had characters die since Final Fantasy II.
Yeah, but everybody's just like, no, Aeris was the first one. It's like, don't tell.
I mean, technically, nobody dies, or it's fairly uncommon. You think everybody dies in that game. It's like a Shakespearean tragedy for most of the four.
Tella dies in four.
Yeah, Tella.
Tella and God damn it, what's his name? Golbez.
Golbez, yeah.
Well, you also have to consider that this was the smash-out hit for the Final Fantasy franchise.
It was a really powerful moment that kind of comes out of nowhere, though.
And then I think like almost every NPC in Final Fantasy II dies. But, of course, the most controversial thing with Aeris is everybody tries to find out, like, and you hear all those rumors on how you can actually bring her back and stuff. If you guys watch game trailers, they have a show called Pop Fiction. And they tried everything, and they couldn't do it. Now, there's no in-game way to bring her back. There's nothing in the actual game to bring her back. But there is a way that you can use her in your party without using, a Game Shark or something. And just real quick, I want to go over it, because I think it's really cool. After you get out of Midgar, and before you go on, like, the date scene at Gold Saucer, basically what you do is take Aeris out of your party, get on a Chocobo, then immediately... pop out the 7 disc 1 disc and put in Romancing Saga disc 1. It glitches the game, so where on a chocobo you can access the map wherever you want. So you just go up to the little northern continent there, get off the chocobo, get in a battle, and then get in a battle, which will reset and turn everything back to normal. And then Aeris, technically, even after she dies, her character will stay in your party the entire game.
Huh.
And,
so it's a glitch then.
Yeah, it's a glitch, but it's not a cheat. It's an actual glitch. But I just think it's funny because as soon as I watched that, I went home because I have Romancing Saga on the PS1. And you know what? It works. It totally freaking works. But what was the other thing? Oh, with that Romancing Saga glitch, since you can go anywhere on the map, you can just go get like Knights of the Round and all those other materia just like at disc one as soon as you get at Midgar. It's pretty funny.
Huh. That would just make the game in easy mode.
Yeah, and Knights of the Round takes so long, you can, like, make a whole damn sandwich in the time it takes for it to friggin' cast.
Oh, and when you have it on, that, like, double cast,
mm-hmm.
You could go make two sandwiches, man. That's how you would... That's the one thing that was broken, was that you could
do
that.
On
you can fry some bacon and make a sandwich out of it.
Yeah, go slaughter the pig yourself.
Because, I mean... What was the trick? You just use W summon, then you just have the other two people mime it, so you just cast it like 6 times or something?
Yeah.
That was like the trick.
But the thing is, yeah, it does enough damage to kill absolutely everything in the game, but you still have to wait for all of those summons to finish casting.
Yeah, and it takes forever.
Yeah.
But I mean, 7, I like it. I'll still say I like it. It used to be my favorite Final Fantasy because, to be honest, I never actually played and completed 6 until after I played, like, I think, like, 6 was the last Final Fantasy. I don't know. I beat it, like only, like, 5 years ago. And after I played that, that became my favorite. But, I mean, 7 will always, like, have a special place.
All right.
And Squaresoft is never going to redo it. As much as people ask for it, they will never redo it.
All right. And so now we move on to Final Fantasy 8.
Next.
The notorious Final Fantasy 8. But it's actually, I like it somewhat. Okay. There's you parts.
Would. I think the two Final Fantasies that probably have the most cult-like fan base are probably 7 and 8. And people who like Final Fantasy 8 tend, like, people who are diehard about 8 tend to hate 7. And then it's like vice versa.
I don't have too much of a problem with 8. It certainly made the Gunblade a popular little fantasy item.
Yeah, my thoughts on Final Fantasy VIII is pretty much this. When I first played it, I never liked the draw system because it just takes up all that time. But I never thought junctioning was difficult. Before I played that game, I had like 4 people at my high school tell me that junctioning's hard, it's going to take you all day, junctioning this, junctioning that. I never had a problem with it because the way I junction stuff was, whatever magic spell I has that increased the stats the most is going to go there. And like, I had no issue with it. I had absolutely no problem with it. And that whole game, I loved the first 2 discs. I had a great time in the first 2 discs. When that third disc comes around and they try to really unravel the love story and what's really going on everywhere, that's where it really, really, really loses me.
I have a confession. I've only beaten 2 Final Fantasy games, 7 and 5. Because what will happen with most games, I'll get to the final boss or the final disc or the final dungeon and stop playing. This happened to me with 4, 6, and 8, and 10. Because for some reason, Final Fantasy games at the very end bore the shit out of me.
Yeah, and it's always like, and it'll always be like some boss that's out of like nowhere that you have to fight at the end. In most of them, not all of them, but in some of them, it's just like, oh, I'm going to fight a random giant-ass crystal. Okay. Well, or then
As it goes on, but yeah.
And then, like, in Fantasy 8, you're like, no, I need to stop Edia the Witch. Oh, another witch was controlling her. Then you learn absolutely nothing, almost nothing about her until the very end. And by that point, you just don't fucking care.
Here's what I end up doing. I end up getting near the end of the game and then deciding I want to be, like, either really powerful or I just want to accomplish all the side stuff. I start grinding out whatever. Knights of the Round or the hell is the name of that? Eden? Was that the name of the summon in 8? The really powerful one?
Yeah, Eden. That.
You get it in the or last trying puzzle. To get the pink tail in 4 to get the adamantine armor.
Yeah.
Or in 10, it was maxing out my sphere grid so that I was doing broken amounts of damage.
Right.
I had my arm after just a few hours of manipulating. I had him doing 50,000 damage a hit. I could have like 3-shot the boss, and I still didn't finish the game because I was so burnt out and didn't care anymore. One of these days, you should go back and beat that awful game.
Yeah, just load your save states there, like, at the end of the game and just beat them real quick.
If I could find them. That's the other issue. It's been so long.
And, like, okay, Final Fantasy VIII. This is a cast of characters that you play as. There's about, what, 6 of them? I don't like any of the characters that you play as in this game. I can't even remotely relate to them. I don't care about what's happening to them. I can't get into any character that you can actually play as. I can't. None of them are interesting to me.
You know what's interesting is they reuse a lot of these characters in 10. Like personality-wise.
Yeah.
What the hell is that dude's name with, like, the half-short? That dude was, like, in the
Zell?
Shorts. Zell? Yes. He's basically Waka.
Yeah.
You have... Quistus is a lot like Lulu. You have... Rinoa is almost exactly like Yuna.
Yeah.
The only difference is Tidus is an ass and really boring, and Squall is an emo jerk. So they're like polar opposites, but I mean, the cast might as well be the same.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care about the characters. I like Quistus fine. I thought she was hot at the time because blonde teacher chicks with glasses, yummy. But, that was it. Oh, and she used a whip, which was kind of cool. But yeah, I kind of agree with you. The characters are kind of pointless. Especially Squall. No one gives a shit about Squall.
No, nobody should Squall.
He didn't even look like a badass hero. Like every other Final Fantasy one, you get some emo dude.
Well, and it pisses me off because you get his last name's Lionheart, which refers back to Leon in Final Fantasy II. And it's like, first of all, they're not even the same type of character. And Squall puts Leon from 2 to shame. I mean, he gives him a bad name. Leon puts him to shame. But then it gets even worse. We're in these stupid Kingdom Hearts games that call the Squall character f***ing Leon, which makes no damn sense.
You really don't like those Kingdom Hearts games, do
you? No, I do not. I thought that was the worst friggin' idea ever.
I love the Kingdom Hearts games.
Never got in the elevator together.
Absolutely love the Kingdom Hearts games. I think they're fun.
And there's,
I think, really weird and stupid, but also kind of like entertaining. And the combat system in 2 is actually phenomenal. It's probably the best RPG combat system I ever played. So,
yeah.
I like games that cross over worlds. No matter how insane the world crossing is, I like when they make that attempt.
Thing about Final Fantasy VIII that was the most disappointing to me besides the last half of the story. Easiest Final Fantasy I've ever played. Ever. Easiest Final Fantasy, hands down, I have ever played. Basically, you just go to Island Close to the Hell, grind out to level 100, then they give you spells that give you your limit break, you just cast them, and you just use your limit breaks, and you destroy everything. Easiest game ever in the Final Fantasy franchise. So easy.
Yeah, it was easy. And then you would cast that with triple.
Yeah, it's just like, why do I get all these advantage spells? Like, why is there a spell that gives me a limit break? That makes no sense whatsoever. That makes no sense to me. It's like, it completely just destroys the purpose of the limit break. And then this is pretty much all you have to do. You don't want to cast Aura on everybody, just get Urban and just cast on him, or get Squall with his last limit break, cast on him, and just do max out damage, like freaking like 60,000 damage per time that they attack. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, as soon as I got all that stuff figured out, last half of the game was easy. And then with the story so bad, like, I almost lost interest. But of course I got it and I had to beat the game. And like, I don't know why people think this is such some great love story, because I don't think it's a great love story. It's a love story, but it's not as great as everybody hypes it up to be. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand the obsession with this game and why people think it's just so godlike.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of 8, though, but I still enjoyed it when it came out. I hated the story in 8, though. Because once they get to the space station, I'm like, Final Fantasy has no business being on the moon. Like, actually at a station on the moon fighting space monsters. That's not Final Fantasy.
Did you not play 4?
Well, yeah. 4 was different. You went there in a spaceship from the Forgotten Times. And
well,
didn't really...
they have a spaceship from the Forgotten Times in that in
Man,
Final Fantasy VIII?
Man, if you hated 8? The sci-fi stuff in 8, I can only imagine you crapped yourself at 13.
Yeah, we'll get to 13 soon enough.
Final Fantasy is... there's no way to avoid the sci-fi element, though. Well, I mean, ever since, really, even...
Dude, Ultima 1 had a spaceship. Just saying.
Yes.
Not like fantasy games don't have space travel.
Yes.
And since, phasers.
Like, do we even want to talk about Spelljammer in the D&D universe? I mean, space travel exists in fantasy games. Beyond the Barrier Peaks, which is an old school D&D adventure. I think it might even be like OD&D. I don't even think it's first edition AD&D. I think it's like original D&D. Have you find a flying saucer and you fight aliens. Sci-fi and fantasy have mixed as long as RPGs have existed.
Yes, but that's mixing. With Final Fantasy VIII and then later Final Fantasies, especially 13, they abandoned mixing and just went straight sci-fi.
Is straight sci-fi, yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, it kind of started with 6 and 7, where it seems like they're trying to combine the distant past with the distant future. And then, like, besides from 9, it's just they took off with it, and I agree. When it gets to 13, it is just straight sci-fi.
Yeah, 9's ending is bizarre, from what I remember watching of it.
Well, we'll get to 9 in a little bit. I mean, is there any last thoughts people want to say about 8?
Once again, the drawing system's stupid.
Yeah,
The card game is absolutely retarded. And
I like the card game
in
8.
But can break the game if you're... Yeah.
I don't like that they make you do the card game, that it's not just a side thing. You have to do it, and I wasn't good at it, damn it.
Well, yeah, I was terrible at it, too.
Yeah, I thought it was stupid because, when you get to 9, it's I want to say it's as stupid, but it's not as hard. But there's still these stupid calculations you have to do with everything on the card, and it's just friggin' retarded. If I'm playing an actual card game, I want a physical manual I can read and I can flip to. Because when you play a collectible card game with somebody, you usually have the rule disputes, or you at least figure it out on how you're supposed to do it. Pretty much in this game, it just shows you the tutorial. Which, by the way, Final Fantasy tutorials are annoying as shit, and I friggin' hate them. And they just last forever. But, I didn't like the way they were going with just, a card game. I don't want to play a card game in Final Fantasy. I'm sorry. If I'm going to play a card game, then I'll buy the cards separately and play with somebody else.
Well, see, I didn't mind the 1 and 8, with the exception of the repetitive music, because it got much worse in 9. And I kind of liked playing the 1 and 8, because it was simple enough. It was just, if this number is higher than this number... Hooray.
Oh, and another way to cheap out the game, get the Bahamut card and refine it and get 100 mega elixirs.
Yes, yep, that was the other reason I liked the card game.
Recovery item ever again.
That was the other reason I liked the card game, is because you could use those cards to... It was a different variation of farming. It's you could go out and farm for items, or you can farm for cards to turn into items.
And did anybody ever... know why, instead of calling them summons or eidolons, they were called guardian forces? Did that annoy anybody? Because I just thought that was stupid, too.
I didn't care about it. The only thing I didn't like was that you had to, control the summon or something stupid. I can't remember exactly how it worked.
Well, you had boost. Yeah,
you got a bar so you can use the same... Or no, you got a bar so you can wait so you can use the same attack.
And you had to,
Or in the case of Eden, you can spend 15 minutes holding select and spamming square to maximize the damage.
See, and I never got Eden. I actually never got all the summons in that game. I mean, you don't really need to, but
It was broken. I mean,
yeah.
It killed everything. It was like Knights of the Round. I mean, it was funny, but it was it was a 10-minute summon. Seriously, I don't even... It's probably not that long, but it's nearly that. I'm going to YouTube it real fast.
By that point, when you get Eden in the game, you don't even need to get that thing. It's just there for just fun, I guess.
Okay, it felt longer. It's 2.5 minutes, though.
Yes, but when you're in the middle of combat, 2.5 minutes is just brings it all to a grinding halt.
Especially that's fucking eternity.
And the whole time I was spamming square.
You're just staring at the square button, so it feels like it lasts forever.
I mean, let's imagine you're in combat with somebody that could summon these GFs, and they summon Eden, and they're standing there for a minute and a half as some spaceships flying around getting ready to attack. Are you just going to stand there and stare back at him, or are you going to go F you and your spaceship and run off?
For reference...
It's going to sit there and take it, and it's ATB goodness. That's what it's going to do.
Knights of the Round is only 2 minutes and 19 seconds, so Eden's even longer than Knights of the Round.
But with Knights of the Round, it's one knight hits, the next knight hits, the next knight hits. It's constant damage is going on during the entire animation.
Eden is literally waiting 2.5 minutes for it to do damage. Stupid.
And it's so what you're saying is Final Fantasy VIII needs W summon Eden with Mime on both the other characters?
Yes, of course.
I mean, it's one thing...
Because if I have to poop, I'm doing something.
That's one thing they actually fixed come 13 was after you've summoned one of your Eidolons in 13, any other time you wanted to summon it, there was a button that pops up, skip animation.
So you don't have to watch Scissor.
They fix it in Final Fantasy IX where you can set them to be shorter or set them to be the full length.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure people had complained by the time... They were getting ready for 9.
After Eden and Knights of the Round, I'd hope so.
I mean, oh god, and farming for Tonberries with the Diablo.
Oh man.
I saw that animation so many times.
It was a pretty cool animation, though.
It was, but...
Yeah,
all animation gets old. And
I mean, Knights of the Round is cool the first time you watch it, too, but after the 700th time...
And then, yeah, whatchamacallit? Yeah, you had to kill the 10 Tonberries to fight the Master Tonberry. And then, no, the screwed up thing was the optional way to get your airship back at, the end of the game, where you have to go through, every single door portal and find a chocobo and, do all this stuff. I'm going to tell you this. For those of you who have not played this game or who have played it and can agree with me, Diablo gives you, or Diablos, I don't remember what it's called. He gives you the ability called No Encounter. If you're going to go find your airship, equip No Encounter so you can just get it done in like 10 minutes instead of getting in constant engagements and then it takes like an hour. Like, there's a tip for this game. And that's the thing. Okay, that's one thing I'm going to say right now that I like about this game. A, I like the airship. I like the way it looked. And I loved the name Ragnarok. I love how it was named that. So the airship was awesome, and that's it. Fuck Final Fantasy VIII. Next.
Next is Final Fantasy IX, which I love Final Fantasy IX. They actually went back to their roots and made a fantasy game with individual characters.
You mean except for the part where Zidane is an alien from space?
But yeah. Isn't that kind of a Dragon Ball Z thing? Because he's already
He's basically a Saiyan.
And this is a problem.
An androgynous Saiyan, but a Saiyan nonetheless.
Okay.
And he is, if you want to talk about annoying protagonists, he is so arrogant and such a jackass the entire game that, along with Steiner's asshattery, I could not play this game past the first 5 hours of the game.
I actually like this game a lot. It's like
I like it. Yeah, you don't. Well, Steiner is around a bit too frequently, but otherwise, I really enjoy it.
Well, the thing I liked about Zidane was you were coming off of Cloud and we're coming off of Squall. So for a main character, to me, it was kind of refreshing to have somebody who had the complete opposite type of attitude, and where somebody, he was arrogant, but then at the same time, you know, he tried to act like he was sly and everything like that. Plus, he's a thief, which I like the idea of the main character being a thief, because, and it's just,
it was kind of a classic swashbuckling attitude.
Yeah, it was a breath of fresh air to me for that character. And
he was like 10 and thought he was the greatest thing on the planet. He pissed me off so much.
But like the reason I like that game is, first of all, my favorite part of Final Fantasy IX is the design of the towns. Those are the best towns I've ever been into, and the work that went into that, like, I appreciate it so much. I love the towns in that game. My second favorite thing is the exploration factor, how you can just roam around, just find random crap everywhere. I love that. Like, this game, it could possibly be the most fun Final Fantasy I played, because it's just the exploration and the towns and everything that you can do. Like, I really, really liked it, and I had a lot of fun. And then the third and best thing was, this game had my most favorite mini game, which was Chocobo Hot or Cold, which I love that game.
I don't remember that at all.
I remember it. I loved the music for it too.
Yeah, that's when you go into the little Chocobo forest and you have like the timer and you peck on the ground to find items, and then you end up finding like Chocographs, which go to different maps. You can find hidden items on the overworld. You go to like Chocobo Land to upgrade your Chocobo so you can climb over mountains and go through rivers and then fly. And then you use the white Chocobo to fly up to the Chocobo Garden where you fight Ozma. And the thing, Chocobo Hot or Cold, here's the funny thing about the Chocobo you have. The Chocobo's name is Bobby Corwin. And the idea of this, the Chocobo being named that, is you take B-O from Bobby and C-O from Corwin, and it's Boko, and it's referencing to Final Fantasy V. This entire game is like a homage to like Final Fantasy 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Like, it's an homage to like all those types of games.
Certainly the Black Mage sticks out for that.
Oh, yeah, totally. And then, like, even the last dungeon where you go to, like, fight Kuja and that stupid crystal at the end, the last dungeon, it's all made out of crystal, just like the last dungeon in Final Fantasy V. And then, go ahead.
Go on.
Oh. The character, the party I always like to use was, I use Zidane, I'd use, Garnet, and then I would use Vivi, and then I always use Amaret. And I always use Amaret because he's pretty much the monk in the game, so his abilities are really awesome. Like, he can learn, how to revive, he can cast Chakra, which recovers HP and MP, and then he can throw items, which do, like, a bunch of damage, especially towards the end. And, that's the other thing about this game was, it goes back to having more than three characters in your party when you fight. So you had four, and then everybody was their own skill. Everybody was their own class, and they went back to that. Like, it wasn't any customizing like in 8 and 7 where you could pretty much make them wherever you want. Everybody had their own thing with their own skill set to learn. And my favorite, I just love this game. It's so good. Like, to learn the abilities, they're on your weapons and your armor, so when you battle, you gain the ability points, you master them, switch the equipment out so you can learn it. So basically, the idea of this game isn't to gain levels, it's to master all the skills. And by the time you have all the skills mastered from all the equipment you can find, like, you're ready to beat the game. Like, I beat this game at, like, level, like, 61 and with ease, with absolute ease.
Queen of Quinn.
Oh, God, that thing, that Quinn thing, I did F that Quinn.
Okay. I don't.
Quina was usually hungry.
That's the kind of thing you would F, Jowski.
Nah.
Well, with Quina, because...
I don't know, where's Charlie? We should ask.
Because with Quina, like, obviously, when you look at that character, a lot of people don't like that character. A lot of people don't like it, because you don't know if it's a he or a she. And then, the thing I didn't like about it, and what I actually didn't like about any Final Fantasy game is, that thing's abilities was the blue magic to use the enemy skills and stuff. And I never liked that. Like, in 7, you get the enemy skill materia. In Final Fantasy 5, you're like the blue mage. Like, anybody who uses, like, the monster skills and stuff, I never, ever really liked those anyway. So
you
that's
know, I actually kind of dug that. But I like the variety of getting use out of all the enemy attacks that I see throughout the game. Because, you know, there's a lot of enemies that have some really badass attacks.
Actually, the only one that I really would use was Mighty Guard, because it has barrier and shell and everything all at once.
Yeah, but,
I used Mighty Guard in, like, every game it was available.
So yes.
And White Wind in 6.
Yeah, White Wind, I think. And then there's, like, Pumpkin Bomb and crap like that. I don't know. I didn't get that many. And then, of course, there's always one where there's just missiles flying out of this, like, fat thing's tongued body. Just missiles flying everywhere, and they called it Matra Magic or whatever.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't get that?
No, I didn't get that
one. Oh, the missile one is cool. They had that in 7 as well.
Yeah, it was in 7 too, yeah.
It always reminded me of, like, the hell is that game called? It was a Battlescope game on the SNES where you had... It was the sequel to the game that came with it, the hell is that? Metal Combat, I think? Metal Combat Falcon's Revenge, that's what it was called.
It always reminded me of the missiles, like, in the Robotech anime, how there would just be, like, quick white lines that would go, and there'd be, like, 7 of them. That's what always reminded me of.
Yeah, Metal Combat was a sequel to Battle Clash. I don't know if you guys remember. It was basically, like, a sort of like a rail shooter super scope mecha game.
Yeah.
It was very Japanese. They were cool, but hard. Probably because the super scope was broken as hell and never, like, synced up correctly.
Yeah, the super scope, ugh.
And then
most of those games I find are only playable with a mouse on emulator.
Ooh, I should do that.
I never even thought of that.
Then
really? Y'all have never thought of that? Oh, man, I went back and beat so many old school games like that. I spent, like, a whole day just playing Gumshoe with my mouse.
So, Final Fantasy IX, back to the connections to the other games. The ones I could think of off the top of my head, there's a bad guy named Garland, which references Garland for Final Fantasy I.
Yeah.
There's also that auction house in Trino where you can buy items that, I mean, they do nothing. But they're pretty much items from previous games. Like, you could buy the rat tail there, I think, and, like, Udina's mirror. And, like, all these items that were, like, important in all the other games that you had to get. And I'm pretty sure it's just 1 through 5. Like, they didn't reference any of the other ones. And this is in this game, too. Who's the guy who writes these? Help me. He came back for this one.
I know who you're talking about, and I remember reading about it, and that's one of the reasons I liked it so much, was because I'm like, oh, yay, it's him!
Yeah,
and that's, like, you know, and it does return back to its roots with that game, mostly because of that writer.
Yeah, and this is the last one he did, too.
Can't remember his name offhand, though.
It's
lot of people gave this game crap, from what I remember, when it first came out, but a lot of those really great PS1 games were kind of given the shaft.
Okay, I gave it crap. I gave it crap when this game first came out because when I didn't read or know anything about it, I just saw the character designs, which, by the way, like, Amano, like, he was involved in this kind of, but not a lot.
He did the initial designs. I have a big set of all his initial designs from most of these games, including 9, but it's so far from what ends up being in the game.
Yeah, and, like, when I first saw the character design, I was very put off because...
I thought Zidane was a chick at first.
But after I played it, no, like I enjoyed it. The stuff that annoyed me was, do you guys remember that desert palace where you have to use the little Kiko chick to go through with? I hate it. You have to like walk around and light the candelabras in order to continue on. I hated that part so much. Like, I hate that part in that game. Like, that's the one part of the game I just can't stand because I hate playing as that chick. And I think your partner is, like, Quinna, I think. And it's like, you're just trying to go through this with my least favorite characters. And it's just so annoying. And you, like, and then there's that continent where you can't use magic. And then there's that time where Garnet, like, she's mute, so she can't, like, use summons, and she can't use magic. Like, there's so much annoying stuff in this game like that keeps it from being my favorite, is because like some of it's just so grindingly frustrating. Is the desert palace when Garnet loses the ability to cast, and then you get those stupid healing weapons that when you first play it, you're just like, you get like healing staff or whatever, and you're like, okay. And so you maybe accidentally hit attack instead of casting magic, you hit the enemy, and then it revives them health, and it's like, so the idea of this weapon is to attack my own party members to revive health. Or I could just use an item or cast cure. Like, I hated the healing weapons. I thought that was stupid, too.
I think that was their way of trying to make anybody a potential healer on the quick.
And then,
like, go ahead.
The summoners had those stupid rackets that just shot balls of light. Like, I didn't understand that either.
Yeah, what was that thing?
I have no clue. But it was just, they shot balls of light out of, like, a racket made out of sticks and, like, deer butt. They just threw, they threw balls of light. But overall, though, I like the game. There's the, what's that thing? Garland's Place is called, like, Pandemonium, which is was something else in another Final Fantasy.
It was in Final Fantasy 2. That was the last castle in Final Fantasy 2.
Pandemonium, and just so many good references. I like it. It's so fun. I really like the Mist Continent, which is probably my favorite, that connects the Three Kingdoms. Like, when I did that, like, just that part, like, I think the first two discs were probably my favorite. When it starts to expand, like, I don't hate it, but it's just not as fun as, like, the first initial experience, and definitely one of the most fun I've ever played.
You know, I think because of the different style, that it was a bit more cartoony, it's easier for those graphics to hold up better today, because it's not trying to imitate a certain realistic style. It's just
its own thing,
right? It's just its own kind of cartoony look, and so it's easier to accept the graphics for that.
So let's go back to the card game, Jowski. Like, why didn't you like the card game in this one? Because I thought it was way easier, because you didn't have to decipher the numbers. If you could just beat everybody playing by arrows in this game.
Yeah, but you had to decipher that. I couldn't figure out the damn thing because, yeah, you would win by arrows, but then you would lose because of the numbers. I'd be like, okay, this arrow points here, and I have, like, the letter G. This thing has, like, a weird squiggle, and it would win. And then, I'd try to find out, okay, what do the numbers mean? And it would say, oh, guess you got to find that out on your own. And I'd be like, F you, game. Just F you.
No, seriously. The numbers and letters, I looked up on the internet and explained and just read what they had on there. Somebody who broke it down. Still made no sense. Like, one's supposed to be attack power. The other one's defense power. Then there's magic power. Then there's magic defense power. And then it's like, so I'd sit there and know that I'd have a card that was better than another card, place it next to it, and the other card would still friggin' win.
Like, so you need a manual for a game inside the game.
Exactly. Yeah. And even the manual sucks. You need a manual for the damn manual.
Pretty much.
And I don't know, like, I just played by arrows, and I got away okay. It was better than Final Fantasy VIII. I was just like, I don't even know what I'm doing. IX, I was like, hey, look, big images that have pointy things, and I will just use that.
Yeah, I barely messed with that card game in IX because I would get so fed up with it. And there's that one part where you have to go through the card game.
Where you get Amaranth?
The tournament,
but it doesn't matter if you win or not. So I would just go in there, lose horribly at the first match, and the game would be right back on.
Isn't that how you get right when you get Amaranth, or right around when you get Amaranth?
No, this is a Rustvariant for it. This is when you're in Treno about to go back. This is Disc 1 still, I think.
No, Card turn, because you go to Trendo once, but you don't do the card tournament then. You do it later. I think it's after you get Amarant, like a little bit after it.
I remember they were right around each other.
Yeah, it's something like that. And then, do you remember Freya, the mouse dragoon type person?
Yeah, dude, I actually really like that character.
Yeah. Well, and what is it? Freya's somebody's daughter that's the goddess of rain or whatever. And, Bermessia, always constantly rain. And then she was always chasing that guy, like, who never had his memory. I can't remember what his name was. Sir something. He was some other rat with a...
Oh, yeah, it was, like, her boyfriend.
Yeah, but he, like, lost his memory or something. And let's see. Oh, funny thing about Quinna. There are two different types of character designs for this character. There's the in-game one where she has, like, a face and, like, a... No, not Quinna. I apologize. For Freya, there's two different character designs for her. There's one in the game where she has, like, the snout. And, you know, obviously she looks like the rat. And there's another one where she doesn't have the snout. And it's just like a jack-o'-lantern type smile. I swear to God, there's two different types of character designs in this. And I think they're both in the game. I have to double check.
Huh.
Yeah,
you mean like somehow selectable between the two?
No, like I don't know if they noticed that there was two different ones.
You mean just as in, like, bad editing for keeping the character consistent?
Yeah, okay, here's this. The original character design that's, like, the regular image they use in the guide, she doesn't have an actual snout. But in the actual game and in the cutscene, she has, the mouse snout and everything like that. And it's, yeah, like, the original character design, I think it's even in the manual. Like, she looks totally different than what she looks like in the actual game.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But that would wrap us up for Final Fantasy IX and for this first episode. Well, third episode, I should say.
And that was all the
PlayStation 1 era.
Yes, era. That was all the P ended at that.
So next time for our final episode, we go into the next generation.
The ass. The end of it all.
Yes. The most, you know, fans like it, I guess.
The most backstabbingly betrayal of anything in the world.
So, we will catch you then. Until then, I'm Alex Jowski. Kevin?
I'm still drinking scotch.
Iason?
I'm still here. Go see Free and Legit Games and check out geekjuice.com in general.
Geekjuicemedia.com.
Geekjuicemedia.com. The media is intended. You should know that by now, people.
And Tom?
I'm Tom Bad Guy. Please check out www.tombadguy.com and also check out my podcast, Tales of Relevant Thought, every Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern at vtwproductions.com.
Until then, good night.
Did you ever know that I had mine? Jesus.